This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
How many successful slave revolts have there been in the history of the world? Anyone? 10? 15? 5? Anyone want to guess before I give out the answer? The answer is 1. There has been, in the history of the world, 1 successful slave revolt. Amazing, isn't it? When you think about slavery, when you think about the institution and how it is the history of the world, no matter who you are, you're listening to the sound of my voice. Isn't it amazing to think about that somebody in your heritage has been a slave? Somebody in your heritage has owned one. It is common. This era we live in now, this is the tiny little blip in history. So all that time, throughout the ages, one person or a few people have been able to own and oftentimes abuse other people. And only one time the majority has been able to rise up and actually take power and keep it? Why? Why is that the case? Why do they fail? Time and time and time again, they fail. Why do they fail? It's fascinating. How many things in history can you say have only happened once? It's amazing. So let us talk about that one time briefly today. Haiti. Now, it wasn't called Haiti back in the period we're going to. If you're curious, it was called Saint-Domingue. I'm not going to do that thing. It's just not my thing. Where I refer to it as Saint-Domingue for the duration of the show, because I want to be historically accurate. It was called something different. All right, but you know it as Haiti. Let's simplify things here. We're talking about Haiti. Haiti, you already have an image in your mind of this absolutely destitute, crappy, poor country as it is today. And it is very much so a dump, a total dump. However, there was a time, isn't this amazing to think about how times change? This is why I'm always okay with the changing of the times, because they always do. Haiti was once one of the richest countries in the entire world. Isn't that incredible? And why was it so rich? Well, we'll get to that in just a second. But just know that Haiti, half French, half Spanish at our time, at the time we're going to be talking about today. The French owned the West, the Spanish owned the East, and that is going to come back into play here shortly. However, the island itself, as you can imagine, no matter who owns which part of it, the island is famous for one thing and one thing only, and you cannot possibly put into words how valuable this was: sugar. Sugar was gold back then. Sugar is still obviously incredibly valuable today, but you can grow it a lot more places. You can just flat out create it in a lab somewhere if you want, but don't ever convince you, people were so much different back then. People are people. And all those years ago, 200 years ago, they liked sweet food too. They liked cake and candy back then, just like you like it. They liked a little sugar in their coffee back then, just like you like it. Sugar was huge. But also, remember, sugar is rare. And in Haiti, it just happens to be the perfect environment for it. It's so valuable that France essentially had a choice to make. This is, we're not going to go into this today. This is about 100 years before this. France had a choice to make of, you can have all of Canada, really, or you can have a couple tiny islands in the Caribbean. And France said, we'll take the Caribbean. Yeah, we will. And we need to clarify something, because this is actually going to matter for the conditions of our story. You and I don't think often enough about air conditioning, the ability to cool our buildings. It sounds so simplistic, but when I say things today like the Caribbean, beaches, it conjures up an image in your mind, in my mind, of a nice resort, maybe under the cabana, couple hours by the beach. Oh, look, waiters bringing back the pina coladas, baby. It's going to be a good day. And then, you know, an hour or two. Ah, man, you know, I'm a little hot. Let us retire to eat an air-conditioned lunch and then head up to our room. We'll set the thermostat at 66 degrees, maybe catch an in-room movie. Very nice, very pleasant. Hey, you know what? We'll pop in the beach again tomorrow before it gets too hot. That's the Caribbean now. It's wonderful. Not so wonderful before the invention of air conditioning. The South itself, the American South, you and I think about it. I did a long tour through Charleston at one time, and they just went on and on about how miserable it used to be in the summertime. Oppressively hot. They don't even have electricity for fans or swamp coolers. You're just in it. Just stuck there with the mosquitoes and the heat, sweating all day long. So when I say the Caribbean back at this time, no, we are talking miserable hot tropics with zero escape. Zero. You're just immersed in soup. That's why up north was so popular. Why do you think most of America settled up in about New York? Why? There are places all over America today. Montana. It's hard to find a house with air conditioning in it. Why? You don't need it. Underrated. Back to the Caribbean and the sugar. Sugar is a funny thing. Comes from obviously sugar cane. And the French in Haiti, they need slaves in their mind. Slavery is an odd thing in that not only is it morally repugnant, overall, it's terrible for an economy, for a country, I should say. Slavery is one of those things that maximizes profits. There's nothing better than having a big fat zero in the old labor column on the profit loss. However, you eliminate any middle class, which really guts your country. You'll see that here in a moment. All you do is create a caste system. Essentially, slavery is great in black and white, great for profit loss is what I mean, bad for a culture. It just does not work. And Hades was somehow worse than any other place I've ever seen. Hang on.
Listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
They're talking about printing and spending more money. Have you seen the latest news on the deficit for this year alone? I cannot stress this enough. For this year alone, over $3 trillion. You already know how this story ends. You know how it ends. It ends the same way for every nation it's ever ended that way. Go get a gold IRA to make sure you're not wiped out financially when this financial system does what we know it's going to do. Gold Alliance will walk you through the process. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They know what they're doing. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. Get that gold IRA today and protect your retirement.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
The Haitian slavery system is barbaric beyond belief. And you can do this thing. I'm sorry, I have to go off on this. You need to be so careful what histories you consume. You need to consume lots of different ones so you can see how it's presented different ways. It is the most tiresome, taxing thing in the world to find real information on anything to do with black people anymore. It's awful. You can't, because it's this modern system of everybody has to atone for everything in the past, and we have to apologize, and no matter what happens, if somebody's black, they have to be presented as a saint and excused, and everything's fine, and the white people have to be presented like crap. That is not history. People are people. They are good and bad, all of them. And this one was so brutal to try to comb through, because you can find literally pages on the horrible things white people did to the slaves back then, and they did, believe me, this was demonic stuff. And you can't, I must have looked, this is no exaggeration, through 25, 30 sources to try to find some detail on the horrible things done when the slave revolt happens by the black people to the white people. You can't find a word. Not a peep. I even listened to two or three podcasts on it. Of course, everyone is, well, you have to understand what was done before. Just tell me the history. I don't need you to make excuses for this person or that person. Tell me the history. Give me the facts. Be careful out there. Be very careful who's teaching your kids, what you're reading, what you're watching, because, man, history, it's not slanted sometimes. Oftentimes, I've found it to be the most horribly slanted thing. Give me the history. But before we get to the revolt, let's address why it was so brutal in Haiti. One, let's not forget, it was the Caribbean. I just elaborated why that was so bad. Two, because sugarcane is so labor intensive, they were killing these slaves, working them to death. And I mean working them to death, 12, 15 hours a day. And they were starving them. They weren't giving them enough food, which is odd, because I need to clarify the class system in Haiti at the time. There were white plantation owners, stupid wealthy. And I mean some of the wealthiest people in the world, because they were essentially, I mean, they had a monopoly on the product everybody in the world wanted. Really wealthy. Then there were slaves. Okay, you know about those two people. The slaves made up about 90% of the population of Haiti. But there were two other classes that are going to come into play, and this is odd. There were white non-slave owners. And these people were pretty stinking resentful, for the most part, of everyone. You need to think of them as lower middle class. Oftentimes, they worked for the slave owners as either slave overseers, or they ran, you know, a small shop out in town, a small candy shop, certainly not doing well, but okay. So you have them. And then there were the mixed race people. White and black, and this is where they came from. They came from white plantation owners, for the most part, bedding down with slaves. Sometimes willingly, sometimes very much not willingly, which again, you can't even, that's just such an unimaginable horror. Imagine that for a woman. However, in one of the oddest things I can find, I honestly found this to be so weird. Those mixed race children were treated very well in Haiti's society. They were, and this ended up creating more resentment from the lower middle class white people. You could own plantations as a mixed race person. You were high society. They would send them. These white plantation owners would send their mixed race kids. They weren't shunned. They would send them to Europe, to elite universities. It's a very odd. This story today is very odd. It's not going to track down the normal tracks you think of. Honestly, obviously race comes into play a lot in this, but boy, it's just a weird class warfare going on. It's very, very weird. And that's the system. Now back to the slaves and the plantation owners. They're working them to death, and it was so dumb. The setting aside the morality of it, the economics of it got out of balance, and this is what I mean. Let's say you are a plantation owner and you own these slaves. It actually was cheaper to feed them less food and crappy food and not give them the medical attention and let them die and just bring in new slaves than it was to feed them well and treat them well. And let's do another brief pause here for a moment. As we've talked about before, not that any of us would ever want to be a slave for any reason, but the conditions of being a slave completely ran the gamut throughout history. There were slaves all over human history that were educated, fed, hospitalized, treated well, allowed to marry, lived in a home. I mean, in Roman times, most of the tutors and things like that were slaves. I mean, shoot, it was not bad. And of course, it goes clear down to the lowest of the low. Many, if not most, of Haiti's slaves, although they had slaves that were treated better than others, we'll get to one of those in a moment, but many of Haiti's slaves were just treated like freaking cattle, working them to death. And they would work them to death, and there were ships arriving from West Africa with new shipments of slaves every day because they just considered these poor people to be human fodder, work them into the ground, and in comes the next ship of slaves, and work them into the ground, and in comes the next ship of slaves. But that's going to become a problem, too, for a reason you're probably not thinking of. We'll get to that in a moment. When you're working people to death like that, and you're immersing them in conditions like that, the human spirit is what it is, and there's always going to be a little mini revolt here and a little pushback there. And so they just, it's not as if this stuff never happened in America or something like that, but this is just these conditions. I mean, it looks worse than the Romans. They would burn slaves alive. They would break them on the wheel. You know what breaking on the wheel is? They lay you down on a gigantic wheel and tie your limbs stretched out, and they take a club, hammer, whatever it is, and proceed to break all your bones before they kill you. It's a historically awful way to die. They would load these slaves in barrels with spikes lining the inside of them and roll them down the hill. They would bury them in ant hills. They would take them into the swamps and tie them to stakes and let the mosquitoes eat them to death. They would feed them to dogs. This is the worst place on earth. Let's clarify that. Hang on.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time Shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our Shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
So conditions for the slaves on Haiti are not good, and they're juxtaposed against these plantation owners who, as I said before, are the richest people in the world. This is the worst place in the world. Terrible place. And what happens in the United States of America? Americans have a revolution. Okay, that's something. It's not really helping us here in Haiti, all right. But then a French Revolution, maybe you've heard of it, comes about. This is just pre-Napoleon time here, 1790s. And the French Revolution was, it was terrible. Let's be honest about it. The French Revolution was terrible. But at the time, it was a casting off of royalty, a casting off of the previous system of all the rich people who were in charge. And this starts to spread. Remember, even back in this time, before text messaging and Twitter and email, word always gets around, especially when you are an island with ships coming in and out every single day. And new slaves coming in every single day. Here's two reasons why that's important. Obviously, there are slaves who are born slaves on the island and raised as slaves. However, because conditions are so terrible and you're killing them, you're always importing new adults. These new adults have, one, known freedom with their tribe back in Africa, two, get word, they speak languages, they can understand news, they get news too. Three, have various levels of education. Now, not a ton of formal education amongst them, but you have, remember, slavery, the slave trade was an ugly bit of business over there in West Africa. You have African tribes hunting down other rival tribes and capturing them and dragging them in and selling them as slaves. Sometimes, oftentimes, who are you capturing and then selling as a slave? Warriors, guys in the army. Some of these grown men slaves you're hauling into Haiti, they were war leaders. They were essentially what you'd consider generals or chiefs not too long ago. You're not hauling in a bunch of dainty butterflies here. You're hauling in men who were just leaders, bringing them in, and they get word that they are casting off royalty in France. And these slaves who outnumber the masters, the plantation owners, 10 to 1, 11 to 1, 12 to 1, depending on what you read, they decide enough is enough. They decide it's their time. They have a meeting out in the wilderness. And at this meeting, there are a million and one stories about what happened there. For all we know, the meeting didn't even happen. It was just one of these things they made up after. But at this meeting, they decide, it's on, Jack. Let's go killing. And they go killing. They talk about, there are stories about sailors 10 miles off the coast of Haiti being able to read in the firelight created from Haiti. They go return that living hell on these plantation owners, and from what I could find on it, it just sounds like the worst nightmare of your life, as you can imagine. People who've been treated this way time and time and time again finally decide they've had enough, and they get their hands on machetes. They're storming into plantation owners' homes in the middle of the night, with women there, with children there. They're chopping off limbs. They're ending lives. They're walking around in the streets with heads on spikes. Like I said, this entire thing, from the slavery to the slave revolt, this is the worst place on the planet. Yeah, I know you're curious about what's happening with the lower middle class whites. Well, that's a bit of a mixed bag. Sometimes they're spared. Sometimes they're very much not spared. Sometimes they're involved. Remember, was it a skin color thing? Every white person on the island didn't A, own slaves, or B, treat them poorly. Lots of times there were white people who were completely innocent, who were slaughtered and raped and murdered. And lots of times there were white people who had treated black people very well, and you'll have someone step in at the end, a slave, and say, no, you don't touch these guys. They're good. There were tiny stories of heroism and good, but it was an ugly bit of business. And I don't want to act like this was a single night affair. The entire Haitian Revolution took 12 years. It was ugly. But there's this man named Toussaint. That's his first name. I'm not going to go into his last name. I don't want to bore you with details. But this man, Toussaint, was originally a slave on the island of Haiti. He had an owner. His owner taught Toussaint to read. His owner was one of these guys who treated his slaves different than others. He eventually freed Toussaint, propped him up for a new life. By this point, Toussaint was a plantation owner. And remember when I said it's not really as clear-cut as skin color, and it never is? Toussaint was also a slave owner. This revolution breaks out. Toussaint actually goes to his former master's home to make sure he protects him. He's not involved in the revolution. He just goes to the plantation owner's home, make sure he protects him. But he's also surveying the scene of the slave revolt. And what he sees is disaster coming because they have no direction at all. This was a very odd revolt. And there wasn't a constitution. There wasn't a specific goal. It was just rage and murder. Understandable when you're raised in that environment, but there was nothing there. So Toussaint gathers what he can figure are the leaders of this. And when I say what he can figure, remember how confusing this is. We'd like to say things like slaves as if it's all one thing. Well, no, they all come from different plantations. They own different, they have different families. And taking it clear back, we say they all come from Africa or West Africa. You know how many different tribes there are in West Africa? Different cultures all over the place. So many, many, many leaders rose up. It wasn't one thing. In fact, many different languages were spoken. Obviously, French is one of the main ones, but frankly, even to this day, French has kind of merged with this Haitian language. It's hard for people who just speak French to understand what anyone's talking about in Haiti. It's different. It's confusing. He gathers people together and says, we need a direction here. We have to figure out something here. Let's do some things. Let's get organized. Let's reach out for some powerful help because he's educated enough to know these revolutions always fail. You need some help. Now, how long have you been listening to my show? How many history stories have you heard me tell? Let's just call this 1800. If you're rebelling on an island run by France and you wanted some powerful help, who are a couple people you might reach out to? Spain, who owns the other part of the island, he decides, let's go to Spain. And let's see if we can get some help. And Spain, watching France lose its most profitable island, is all, yep, I think I will get involved. But the plantation owners have connections too. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Spain is licking their chops. They think they might as well just have the whole island. Yeah, of course, Toussaint. We'll help you out. Here's some arms. Here's some uniforms. You need food? We got food, too. Let us know what you need. Well, Britain is certainly not going to pass up this opportunity either. They're not going to pass up an opportunity to take a big steaming dump on France, especially after that crap they just pulled in the American Revolution just before this. And they're not going to allow Spain to take over all that money and sugar in Haiti. Britain starts sending navies. France now has a real problem on its hands. You see, they're still going through their own revolution, figuring out their own path forward. But they can't give up Haiti. They have to do something. France does something. Honestly, I don't know what else they could have done in their current political situation. There was just nothing else they could have done. France simply goes over to Toussaint and these slaves, and there's a story about a slave delegation going to France and giving some speech that was, you know, really heartened about how we should be free like you're free, and that's what did it. That's a bunch of crap. France goes over there. I mean, I'm sure that happened, too, but France goes over there and says, all right, you guys can all be free. Just stay in France. You're still French. We take it back. You're all free now. Everyone has freedom. Look how great freedom is. You're all free. Just don't go with the Spanish or the British. You see, France was trying to keep a hold of their little honey hole. All right. Works out well. This guy Toussaint, who would really become the de facto leader of the Haitian Revolution, makes himself military dictator for life, of course, right away, as they all do. Everybody who ever leads a revolution ends up into a tyrant. I mean, be very grateful you're an American, because we're like the one that didn't do that. And things begin to go very, very, very poorly in Haiti. Toussaint realizes you're Haiti. You offer absolutely nothing of value besides sugar. However, sugar has an insurmountable, I mean, it has a value we can't even conceive of today. So he starts going around and telling people, we have to make sugar. I know we're not slaves anymore, no more slavery. We're not chopping your hands off and stuff, but we got to make sugar, period. Starts basically begging, borrowing, stealing, and please, make sugar, you know, paying people. Some plantations start up again under black ownership when people were paid to do it. But again, remember who we're dealing with here. These are freed slaves. These are people who were free and remember being free, and now they're stuck in Haiti. And I still have to work sugar? I don't care if you're paying me or not. Thanks for not feeding me the dogs, but this still sucks. They're not pleased. It's an unsettled situation, to put it mildly. And there's still all kinds of tension between the lower middle class white people, between the mixed race people. There's just tension everywhere. And what happens next, not in Haiti, but what happens next, everybody, in France, right about this time? Napoleon takes over. Napoleon takes over, and he says, wait, I'm sorry? We're having problems in Haiti? Hold on. You did what? You freed all the black people in Haiti? That's going to be a no for me. And word gets back to Haiti very, very quickly. This Napoleon guy's not with us. Not at all. Napoleon, however, wants to have a show of force. So he sends the largest French fleet ever at that time over to Haiti. Troops, a French navy. And they have a nasty, nasty, nasty little war. The atrocities are beyond belief in this war on both sides. In the end, Napoleon gets, it's not that he loses, I mean, he does lose, but he simply doesn't have time and resources to invest in an island across the Atlantic when he's busy trying to take over and successfully taking over virtually all of continental Europe. So he really just kind of has to cut loose and walk away. If you're curious about Toussaint during this whole French time when he sends the Navy over there, Napoleon actually has the man arrested. Toussaint says that he should be tried as a general. Napoleon's like, no, you're a dirtball, and he ends up dying in a French jail. So his story ended poorly. His second in command took over and did very, very well. They had accomplished military people on the freed slave side, on the Haitian side. Like I said, not all these guys were just, you know, uneducated slaves. They were war leaders and stuff like that in there. They did very, very well. And eventually they cut it loose. Now, you and I need to ask ourselves some hard questions, don't we? Hang on. Home title theft is sweeping across this country right now. And this happens with crime from time to time. How much history on this show do we talk about? You know this. Crime usually outpaces law enforcement. They can't foresee these things coming. This thing, they don't have a handle on it. It's easy money for cyber thieves. Your home title's online. They will find it, hack into it, take it, forge your signature on it, and I cannot stress this enough. I saw it when it happened to me. It looks so real. My jaw hung open. You know how hard it is to shock me? My jaw hung open. It looks real. They take a loan out against it. You have to pay that loan back, and your only thing to stop them is Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the code RADIO. Get 30 free days of protection. We talk a lot on this show about culture. American culture, culture in different historical places, and the culture of your founding, I have found to be so critical for how the rest of your existence goes. It sets you on a path. It puts you on some kind of a direction. Look, let's be honest. The reason we are So wealthy and free and powerful is our founders didn't want to be tyrants. They wanted this to be a free Christian nation. They put us on that path. Here's a constitution. We'll try to make it happen. And we have gone that direction. Freedom-loving people. But think about everything we just talked about. And let me ask you, what was Haiti's cultural founding? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly Show. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Haiti. Currently, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. 189 countries went on the Human Development Index in 2019. Haiti was 169th on the list. Their education system is garbage. Their healthcare system is garbage. Their economy is garbage. And because they're so poor, they can't build solid enough structures, so they're constantly being wiped out by natural disasters. You realize, as an American citizen, and I say this as somebody who has seen suffering from hurricanes. I live here in Houston. I was here for Harvey. I've been other places where there have been hurricanes. I'm not discounting hurricane suffering here that exists. But you realize hurricanes in America are a blip on the radar. Maybe a specific area will flood. Obviously, everybody remembers Katrina. You get a hurricane in Haiti where the structures aren't made like American structures are. Hurricanes flatten towns. No, I didn't write out one of my hurricanes in Haiti, Chris. I wrote it out in Jamaica. Even young Jesse wouldn't have gone to Haiti for a freaking vacation. That's going to be a no for me. But why? I mean, people talk about the Haitian Revolution as some huge success story, and I guess obviously it is. And to their credit, this inspired other peoples around the world and such. That's fine. That's good. But life is a disaster in Haiti to this day. To this day, life is a disaster in Haiti. It's awful. Because of culture. I'm not blaming them. But the culture was a bunch of different cultures. And what was the goal? You remember back at the beginning of it, what was the goal? Revenge. Violence. And I'm not blaming them at all. Let me tell you what. You treat me like that, my family like that, my friends like that, I'll be there with a machete in my hands too. But that's how the culture began. I see so many people on the right, so many people on the right constantly carping about, oh, we don't need to get involved in the culture war. Oh, that's so distasteful. Oh, we don't have, just who cares about that? The culture war is the only thing that matters. There is nothing else without the culture. These people on the right who are constantly finding reasons to try to appear more tolerant. Oh, just let them have this, let them have that. They're the reason you can't turn on a television show anymore without being immersed in leftist crap, video games, music, school. It has to stop. And we can't even get our elected leaders, people we look to do a single thing to fight back against it. Do you remember what big tech did just a few days ago? Do you remember what they did with the Hunter Biden story? Big tech. They took a story about Hunter Biden damaging emails, things that looked real bad for Joe Biden, conflict of interest all over the place. And the New York Post, not some tabloid rag, the New York Post put up an article detailing these things with details all over it. It's not like they didn't have information here. And the big tech companies, we already went over this, not only blocked anybody from linking to the article, they blocked and still have blocked the New York Post account. Then they blocked the White House press secretary over it. Then they blocked the House Judiciary Committee for the GOP over it, going all in, then doubling down, then tripling down. And people were out there saying, these guys, they're crazy. Oh, man, they unleashed the fury now. The hand of God is going to come down now. They've pushed things too far. And remember who told you? Nah. They know exactly who they're dealing with. They know exactly what they're dealing with. If big tech had any fear at all, any at all, that the GOP was actually going to engage in this war, they would have backed off immediately. Remember who told you that? I did. Headline, looking at it right now from Politico. Senate panel delays vote to subpoena Twitter and Facebook CEOs as some Republicans waver. Don't bother looking into it. This was all done on an anonymous basis. Believe me, I was going to name names for you. But of course some Republicans wavered. You can't actually do anything as a Republican. Oh, don't get me wrong. You have to tell your supporters you're going to do something. When you're running for re-election, you have to send out email after email after email saying you're going to do something. Just elect me this time and we will do something. But you can't actually do it, right? I mean, do you know the mean things the papers will say if I actually do something? Do you have any idea how many hard questions I'll be asked if I have to actually do something? Ooh, we can't have that. I don't want to make enemies. I can't have people being mad at me. No, I still want all the steak dinners and stuff. I have to get reelected, and to get reelected, I have to tell the base, you know, that I'm going to do something about it. But don't worry, I'm not going to actually do it. Gosh, are you crazy? I think it's time you and I have to accept that maybe this party isn't working anymore. I understand you're happy with Trump. Look, I'm very happy with Trump too. But remember, a party's a lot more than just one man. This party's got to exist post-Trump. Maybe we need to move on. Maybe we do. Let me ask you, what am I getting? I understand it's better than Democrats. I get that. But what is that saying anymore? How difficult is it to be better than the Democratic Party? I get that. What am I getting now with the GOP? Tell me what I'm getting. Explain it to me. What am I getting? Oh, maybe they'll defund Planned Parenthood next time.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.